Hi, I'm Ben McKenzie, and not Elizabeth Flux. Welcome to Pratchett, the monthly Terry Pratchett Book Club podcast, which isn't so monthly this month. Each month, we normally discuss one of Terry Pratchett's books or short stories with a special guest, and this month, we were reading Monstrous Regiment, but the episode is still taking a while to finish, so I'm laying down this little extra bonus episode on my own. Seeing as I already made a brief bonus episode called A Monstrous Delay, this one is instead The First Blast, in honour of the inspiration for the title of Monstrous Regiment itself. If you don't know about that, well, don't worry, it'll be in the full episode. And that episode, Pratchett 76, will now come out on April the 8th, and we'll talk about the short stories we've mentioned as coming up next, that's Hollywood Chickens and From the Horse's Mouth, in May. Last time I did something like this, I thought it might be nice to go over some Pratchett news, because it's not something we normally do on the podcast. And I am going to do that today, but I'm also going to get a little nerdy by fleshing out that news with a bit of Pratchett history and background on the things I'm talking about. Let's start with some news about the books. In 2022, as part of the 50 Years of Terry celebration, which commemorated the 50th anniversary of his first novel, The Carpet People, Penguin Books announced new editions of all 40 Discworld novels, which left a lot of us puzzled because there are 41 Discworld novels. But eventually it became clear that the missing one was The Last Hero, the illustrated novel which has only ever been published in a format identical to the original. Paul Kidby's illustrations are such an integral part of the layout, and the files were created in the now ancient sixth version of Photoshop, so doing it in a new format probably seemed like a bit of a daunting exercise. And also, it seems, interestingly, that unlike all the other novels in the Discworld series, the publication rights for the paperback didn't ultimately sit with Penguin. This is an old problem. Publishing rights are not as simple as selling the right for one book to one publishing house, who then publishes the book anywhere in any form. Instead, the rights are generally sold for a particular market and in a particular format. Terry's first books were locally published in hardback by Colin Smythe through his own small press. But from Equal Rights onwards, Colin secured him a contract with Gollancz, known for the kind of sci-fi Terry loved. Paperbacks from The Colour of Magic onwards were published by Corgi, an imprint of the British publishing house Transworld. But in 1998, Terry came to Australia on a signing tour for Jingo to find Gollancz had failed to supply copies of the new book to sign for the second year in a row. He and Colin were a bit fed up, and they transferred the hardcover rights from The Last Continent onwards away from Gollancz and to Transworld, who published the hardcovers from that point on under their Doubleday imprint. Now, the rights to the already published hardcover books, so all the Discworld novels up until Jingo, still belong to Gollancz, which is why the collector's library editions, those nice but kind of affordable cloth hardcover ones, came out in two halves. They began with Gollancz, but Doubleday later decided to do matching editions so that readers could complete the set, and that was mutually beneficial for both companies. But even though Pratchett changed hardcover publishers in 1998, The Last Hero was published in 2001 by Gollancz. Now, it turns out the reason for this is partly because Terry was very close with Joe Fletcher, who was his editor at Gollancz and also a fellow fantasy author. And when they left, they didn't take all rights away from Gollancz. They still published the diaries and a few other spin-off type books. And in any case, the idea for The Last Hero, this big picture book idea, was one that Terry and Joe had had together. So he definitely wanted to work on it with her, and that meant publishing it with Gollancz. And look, presumably also because it was meant to remain in that large, full-colour, illustrated format, Gollancz also had the paperback rights. When it came out in paperback with the revised edition with the extra illustrations, it was still that big coffee table format, and so Gollancz had the rights to publish it in paperback as well. And they published the later, smaller edition, which is basically just a shrunk-down version of the original. So, as you can see, even just looking at these few books, it's quite complicated, the publishing landscape. And I'm just talking about Terry's primary publisher in the UK. I'm not even going to get into the whole things that have happened with his American publishers and the publishers he used in other territories. But things have changed in publishing over the years, and perhaps the biggest change has been consolidation. Like in a lot of other industries, a lot of companies that used to be separate have been bought by each other or merged together, and now there are fewer but much bigger publishing companies. And one of the biggest is Penguin Random House, which used to be two of the biggest separate companies, Penguin and Random House. And they've owned Transworld for a long time. The same has happened, by the way, with Glance, which is now an imprint for science fiction, which is owned by Hachette, which I think is based in France, and they also own a lot of other publishing houses that used to be independent. But anyway, in 2022, Transworld announced that all their paperbacks would now be published under the Penguin imprint. So instead of the other imprints that they had, which had a few different names for different kinds of books, including Corgi, now they'd all have the little Penguin logo on them. And of course, that's what happened with the new paperback Discworld books. It wasn't just to celebrate 50 years of Terry Pratchett. It was also because it was a rebranding exercise for all of their paperbacks. But they don't have rights for The Last Hero, which brings us to our first bit of news that I wanted to go over. So at the end of February, Gollancz published a new edition of The Last Hero, which has a new cover matching the Leo Nichols designs, which were used for those new Penguin editions. Because one of the exciting things about those new paperbacks is that they have a consistent cover design. Each sub-series has a different color scheme and a different sort of theme in what's on the cover, but the fonts used and everything else, they kind of agree with each other, and particularly on the spines. So if you want a matching set of paperbacks of all the Discworld books, this is probably the best one to go for. And now you can get a copy of The Last Hero that will match them. And the most exciting bit of this news for me is that it has new text design on the inside, which I assume means that they have redone the layout, maybe with a new font. And I would love to see what that looks like. I mean, I think the original was amazing, but it was done in Photoshop 6 by Rob Wilkins, who is a wonderful man with many talents, but he's not a professional graphic designer. But this is probably a good point to mention that if you want to know more about this story, you can find a lot of the specifics in either The Magic of Terry Pratchett by Mark Burrows or Terry Pratchett, A Life in Footnotes by Rob Wilkins. That's where I got most of my information from. So, I would love to see what they've done with it. I haven't seen that new edition. I already own two different editions of the book. It feels a bit much to have a third one, but I would love to see it and see how it differs. So I'll probably try and check it out. And if you've got it, please let me know. If you've got both an old and a new edition of the book, yeah, let me know that too. I'd love to know what it looks like and how it's different. There's just one mystery left about this whole situation, which is that in the announcement that Penguin Books made, they said all 40 Discworld books. But there was another book that they also didn't have the paperback publishing rights to, which is Eric, the previous illustrated novel, which was published in the big hardcover and paperback formats by Gollancz. And then also, unlike The Last Hero, published in a regular paperback format without the illustrations by Gollancz as well. That was presumably included in the original 40. I don't know what the difference is there. There's probably some licensing or rights agreement thing that had to be worked out. There is a matching edition of Eric that looks like the new Penguin editions published by Gollancz. So, yeah, I guess they figured something out. Although Penguin did do a new audiobook of Eric, but audiobook rights are separate to physical publication rights. So who knows? Anything could be the case. And on a similar but briefer note, while we're talking about books, I should also mention a much more recent bit of news than the other ones, which are mostly from the end of February. But if you've got any of those collector's edition books, you probably know that it's not just the Discworld books. They've also been adding other of Terry's books to that collection. And in recent years, that's included things like Good Omens, although that's got a bit of a different shine to the cover. It's not quite the same. But they've done the Bromeliad trilogy that way, which is beautiful. I love that edition. I'd really like to get a copy of that. They did Nation as well. And they've just announced about a week or two ago that on April the 25th this year, they're publishing a matching edition of Dodger. And just like all the others, it's got new cover artwork, which is surprisingly orange, which is not the color I think of when I think of Dickensian London, but actually I think it really works. It looks really cool. So keep an eye out for that. If you're looking for a copy of Dodger, you haven't read it yet. There's that nice new cheaper hardcover edition coming out soon. Now, around the same time that this news was coming out or that the book was published around the end of February, the Terry Pratchett Estate also came up with some news. So if you missed this last year in November, just after the 40th anniversary of Discworld, so 24th of November, the anniversary of the publication of The Colour of Magic, they announced that they were going to do a year of Discworld to celebrate 40 years of the Discworld. So far, they've not announced what they're actually doing for this year of Discworld. I don't know if they had plans and they just haven't been able to confirm them, but it did feel a bit like everyone was kind of swept up by all the new stuff that's been happening and they didn't realize the anniversary was coming. Anyway, I don't know if that's happened there, but they are making up for it because they've got some plans. They haven't announced what they are yet, but they have revealed around the end of February a logo for this year of Discworld, and it's really cool. I really love it. It's kind of like a compass rose. It's got a stylized Greater Chewin on the top with the sort of map of the Discworld on its back. I think it'd make a really great enamel pin. I really hope they make some. I would love to get one because it's just, yeah, it's got those sort of bold colors and the design looks like it would really work on a pin. And I love them. I collect enamel pins. I've got so many. Yeah, which I guess, I don't think I thought about this when we talked about going postal, but I guess that makes me a pinhead. Just not the same kind of pinhead as Stanley. Anyway, I think it looks like a cool logo and we're all kind of waiting on tenterhooks to find out, okay, but what's going to have this logo on it? Because it's really not clear what they're going to do yet. So we're just all waiting with bated breath. What's going to happen? Something exciting is going to happen. And obviously it can't be new editions of the books. They've just done that. And it's not new audiobooks. They've just done that. I'm going to have a guess here. I have no reason to believe this. I'm just speculating wildly, but why not? You know, it's a fun little mini episode. Don't take me too seriously. I've got no inside knowledge about this, but I'm going to guess that there's something big, but whatever the negotiations or licensing arrangements that have to be put in place to make sure that it's solid have not quite come together yet. That would be my guess. And we will hear about something that is really exciting and amazing, but just can't be announced quite yet because it's taking a little bit longer than you would hope. That's my guess. I don't know what that could be. I don't know if it's like a feature film or a new TV show. Remember they had that announcement about Endeavor content a few years ago now, and we haven't heard anything since. So maybe it's something to do with that. I don't know. But anyway, whatever it is, I think it's going to be cool and amazing. And it is specifically Discworld related because it's 40 years of Discworld. So whatever is going to happen, I'm excited for it. And we'll all find out, hopefully before too long. I hope. Fingers crossed. Who knows? Your guess is as good as mine. If you know what, or if you've got a good guess as to what you think is going to happen for the year of Discworld, celebrating 40 years of Discworld, let me know. Now, one thing we know that it's not is a very exciting bit of Discworld news, particularly exciting for me, which was also announced at the end of February. Man, the end of February was such a big, it was mostly on the 29th as well. I guess that's a fun day to announce things. The 29th only comes around every 4 years. Anyway, the other thing that they announced is a new Discworld tabletop role-playing game. Now, this is not a video game, not talking about a video game role-playing game. And I've talked about Dungeons and Dragons on the show many times. So it's that kind of game. When we sit around a table, usually with pencil, paper, dice, and you play with your friends and you sort of imagine your characters, you have some rules to randomize some of the outcomes, you roll some dice, etc. It's great. It's an amazing hobby. I love it. I've been into it for a long, long time. And we know that Dungeons and Dragons was one of the influences on Terry that led to the Discworld. I mean, that's where the luggage came from. He invented that idea of a chest that walks around on legs as a thing for his Dungeons and Dragons campaign. And then he turned it into the luggage for Discworld. But look, Dungeons and Dragons was the first role-playing game, but it's definitely not the only one. There are lots of other role-playing games, or RPGs, as we call them for short. And in the 50 years since Dungeons & Dragons was first published, because it's Dungeons & Dragons' 50th anniversary this year, there have been thousands of other RPGs, and many, many different styles of them have evolved. And the thing about the modern role-playing games, and I say the modern, like this has been a movement that's been happening for a long, long time, but a lot of modern role-playing games have rules that really try to reinforce and reward the kind of actions and characters that make a particular genre or tone or style of play or story really work. And this is distinct from older games which did this. I mean, they did do it, but they kind of did it less consciously because what the rules were trying to do instead was model something about the world. And look, that is a slightly old-fashioned way of thinking about the difference between the games. It's a lot more complicated than that, but let's go with that for a simple explanation on a podcast that's not usually about role-playing games. Now, this is relevant because there has been a previous Discworld role-playing game. It was based on a system of rules called GURPS, which stands for the Generic Universal Role-Playing System, which was from Steve Jackson Games, the American Steve Jackson, not the British Steve Jackson, who invented Warhammer and Fighting Fantasy or was involved in those things. No, this is a game which really, as the name suggests, Generic Universal Role-Playing System is a really general role-playing game that tries to model the world in a way that allows you to play kind of any kind of story or game or character that you want, which means it's very broad. Anyway, the new game has been announced by a company called Modiphius, which is a British game publisher. They've been around since about 2012, and they're really well known for both role-playing games and board games. I've got a couple of board games published by them. I'm pretty sure they did the Thunderbirds one, designed by one of my favorite board game designers, Matt Leacock. And in particular, they've made a lot of role-playing games based on big media franchises. So they've done role-playing games for Star Trek, Dune, I'm pretty sure Dune was them, Fallout, Conan. They've got a whole history of doing this for various franchises, and a lot of those games have got some good buzz around them. They're fairly mainstream in their design. They don't do anything too out there. One of those games uses a common rule system. It's called 2D20, which was used for things like Conan and Fallout. And I have played that game a little bit, and I've got several different versions of it, so I can have a read through it and see what it's like. But the thing is, we don't know yet if they plan to use the 2D20 rules for the Discworld game or if it's going to be something completely new. Because all Modiphius have announced so far is that, like a lot of game projects these days, even for big licensed ones, the new Discworld game will launch on Kickstarter in late 2024. And Kickstarter is a massive platform for games. It has been for quite a while now, although a lot of games have been moving to another crowdfunding platform just for games called GameFound, but that's a whole other story. It's going to be on Kickstarter in late 2024, so you'll be able to get on board early, pre-order it effectively, and the idea is it will come out in 2025. That's the plan. So it won't be out this year. It'll be out next year. And they've also announced that the first book that they're releasing, or the first version of the game, is called Terry Pratchett's Discworld, Adventures in Ankh-Morpork. It's not entirely clear if that's the title of the whole game, or if the game itself is just Terry Pratchett's Discworld, and this first book or first game in a series is called Adventures in Ankh-Morpork. But they have said that, you know, they're going to start with Ankh-Morpork and surrounds and the kinds of characters that you would find there, and then they're going to expand out and do other things. And there's been a few more details come out since then in little snippets and interviews, although not too much. They haven't been talking about it too much yet. I guess it's a bit early. And they have indicated, for example, that you will be able to play not just humans, but dwarfs and trolls and possibly other kinds of character too. But there's nothing very detailed yet. Now, I don't talk about game design on the show very much unless we're playing a board game. I mean, you do come here for a book club, after all. But I have put a bit of thought into this because, you know, I am a game designer. And I think there's a little bit of tension here. Mainstream role-playing games that sell in the big numbers, they tend to build on the D&D standard, which includes things like having a lot of dice rolls and detailed combat rules and lots of stats for your character and lots of special powers and stuff like that. But is that what a Discworld game needs? I think it depends on the kind of Discworld game you want. And those very early novels are pretty consistent with the tone of D&D. Like, I think if you wanted to play a game that felt like The Colour of Magic particularly, but also the light fantastic, maybe Mordor or Equal Rights or Pyramids, anything in those first sort of five or six novels, I think you probably could play it just using Dungeons & Dragons. It wouldn't be too much of a stretch. And in fact, people have published their own homebrew rules for how you might represent some of the kinds of characters in the Discworld using Dungeons & Dragons rules. But I'm not sure I would want that kind of rule system that is sort of very focused on combat and physical character abilities and magic for a game that was going to feel like something like Thud or Going Postal, you know, those books that are from my favorite era of the Discworld series. I think it'd be difficult to nail down, in fact, the Discworld as a whole with just one set of rules, because I think the things that are consistent about the Discworld series over time are not really easily captured by the rules of a game. It'd be much easier to zoom in on particular areas and try and capture that. But I have thought about it. What do I think a Discworld game needs? Well, I think you want to focus on the things that you can do with a game that are kind of consistent. I think I would want it to be a more dramatic system, by which I mean, it's not so much about the action and the sort of things that the characters do in the sense of, do they climb up this wall or do they punch this monster in the face? You know, it's not so much that. It's more the drama of the situation, which is, you know, what the books are so much more about. There is action that happens in a Discworld book, but that's not really the point of the book, you know? And I would want it to let the characters' personalities be as important or more important than their capabilities or abilities, you know? So not a list of skills and spells like you find in a Dungeons and Dragons style game, more kind of personality traits. And I think you'd also want that possibility for action in danger, because that's absolutely there in Discworld. I mean, look at something like Going Postal. There's a lot of chase sequences and danger and, you know, fires in the post office, stuff like that. You need that kind of thing. But also, you know, I think you want it to resolve quickly. I don't think you want this sort of drawn out turn by turn combat that you get in Dungeons and Dragons, which feels like a war game where, you know, I take my turn and my character fights the monsters and then the monsters have a go and then the other player has a go. You don't want that. You want to try and find a way to resolve it quite quickly. And there are lots of games that do that kind of thing. And I think we want something more like those. I'm thinking of games like Fate or Cortex. Like, these are rule systems that are designed for games that are a bit more story focused, but I think, you know, something like that, where it's more about emulating the genre and the tone than it is trying to emulate a particular kind of action. And I think what you do with that is maybe you have a sort of narrative meta currency, right? This feels particularly appropriate for the Discworld. And what I mean by that is there's some sort of resource, and in other games, they're called things like fate points or drama points, stuff like that, which players have. So the character doesn't have this, the player has this. And when the player wants to succeed or they want to influence the story of the game, they can spend those points and things will go their character's way. But also they can choose not to spend them or even earn them by not having things go the character's way. And I think that's particularly appropriate for the Discworld because, you know, the Discworld runs on narrativium. It runs on stories. The books are so self-aware of that in the way they talk about it, and sometimes even the characters are. So that could be a character trait that you could have is a bit more story-aware, someone like Rincewind or even Granny Weatherwax, obviously. Like, some of those characters are very aware of the way stories work and how to use that to their advantage. I think that's something that the game should have to feel Discworld-y. I actually think I would probably even not have dice in the game at all, which is not something you see very often these days. But I think that would suit the Discworld better, even though, you know, in Dun Manifestin, the gods are playing dice. They're playing Dungeons and Dragons, essentially, with Rincewind and Cohen as their characters. But for a Discworld game we play in the real world, we don't want that. You base it somehow on these points. I've been thinking about this so much. I think I might even actually try and make a game like this, but just a little one as a taster, like to see if it works. And it wouldn't be officially, obviously, Discworld, and I probably wouldn't even put any specific Discworld stuff in it. It'd just try and capture the tone of it, right? But anyway, that's what I think. I think it's very exciting. Modiphius wants to know what you want in the game, by the way. So there's a survey you can fill out as a fan. They ask you some difficult fan questions, by the way. They ask you what your favorite Discworld books are and your favorite Discworld moments. Very difficult to capture. But have a go if you want to influence the development of the game. And I'm interested in knowing what you think about this. Would you prefer an all-new game for Discworld? Or is there a game out there that you think already does a great job of generating the kind of stories that you see in the Discworld, all the kinds of characters that you see, and maybe not just the Discworld, but Terry Pratchett in general. I'd also love to know if you've tried the GURPS version of the Discworld RPG. This is something I really do want to cover on the podcast, and we will, but in order to do it justice, we kind of have to play it, and that's quite time-consuming, so it's not something we've done yet. It's on the cards, it will happen. I've been thinking a lot more about it recently, particularly since this news came out, so it will happen, but not yet, but if you've played it, I'd love to know what you think. I've read it. I have played some other stuff that's based on GURPS, so I know kind of how it works. I'm interested in what you think, though, about all this role-playing stuff. Look, that's probably it. Wow. I mean, this was supposed to be a brief news episode, but I've really had a lot to say about books and role-playing games. They are two of my favorite things in life, so I shouldn't be surprised. Anyway, I hope this was a bit of fun for you, listener, and I just want to thank you for your patience in this period where our lives haven't really made it possible to get the podcast out on time every month. We've still been pretty good, but there's been a few times recently where we haven't been able to do it. And I try my best, but right now it's just not been possible. So we've cut ourselves some slack, and I hope you're okay with that. And you'll hear from me and Liz and our guest, Freya Daly-Sadgrove, on the 8th of April with the Montrose Regiment episode. I have started editing it and it is sounding good, but there's a lot of work. It's a very long, long recording. It's going to be a good one, though, and I think it's worth the wait. And then after that, as previously announced, we're going to talk to Laura Jean McKay, author of The Animals in That Country, and we're going to talk about the short stories Hollywood Chickens and From the Horse's Mouth, which is going to be a lot of fun. They're very, very fun little stories. I particularly like Hollywood Chickens, so I'm looking forward to discussing those. But don't forget, too, that if you are in Australia, we haven't mentioned this for a little while, or you're going to be in July, you can come and see us live. We're going to be at the Australian Discworld Convention. The convention will be in Adelaide from July the 12th to July the 14th. And you can get all the details, including how to get tickets, at ozdwcon.org. I'll put a link in the little episode notes for this episode. And we are planning to record a live episode. That'll be our first live episode since the last Australian Discworld Convention in 2019. It's 5 years ago. Amazing. So it would be really lovely to see some of you there. So if you can come along, please do and say hello. But look, that's enough from me. And until next time, remember, you can just start a year of something yourself. Do it now. Maybe we'll have a year of Pratchat. That could be fun.